Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Happy Traitors finale and reunion day to all who celebrate. Tonight, Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, the season 2 finale of The Traitors hits Peacock, followed by the Andy Cohen-hosted reunion. While I obviously cannot wait, and I'm not alone in that, it also sadly means that this pop cultural moment that has been the second season of The Traitors is officially coming to an end, and I'm honestly not sure what I'll do next. Just kidding. I do know what I'll be doing. I'll be watching season 2 of The Traitors UK, which just aired in Britain and hits Peacock in the US tomorrow, Friday, before then finally jumping into the first season of The Traitors Australia, which I've heard is one of the best seasons of any version of The Traitors that we've gotten so far. Also, apparently, The Traitors New Zealand hits Peacock on March 28th, so it's not like we're going to be starved for Traitors content going forward. But the second season of the US version has just been so fucking fun to watch. The conversation around it has been so entertaining, the memes overfloweth, and it just feels like everyone I know has been watching, which is always a fun experience. While it hasn't been quite a monocultural moment, it felt pretty damn close to it, especially if you're at all in tune with the world of reality TV. While I don't normally release new episodes of Gabbing with Gabe on Thursdays, usually it's just Tuesdays and Fridays, I decided to release a surprise bonus episode today to commemorate the occasion and help you prepare for tonight's finale and reunion doubleheader in the form of an interview with Peter Weber, aka Pilot Pete, aka the leader of Peter's Pals, who was banished on the most recent episode following a cliffhanger from the preceding episode where an MJ's vote was left in the balance. It was tied between Phaedra and Peter at the round table, and the world waited for a bated breath for a whole week to find out who she voted for. I mean, if you don't think that I was zooming in on that quick shot of her slate to see if you could figure out whether she had written Phaedra or Peter, then you don't know me. She ultimately voted to remain Bravo strong, and Peter was banished, which ultimately, if you really think about it, I guess wasn't a surprise, but it was still genuinely fun to kind of wait and be, again, part of that moment. But that's also not before he made a huge impact on the game, especially via his genius shield stunt much earlier in the game, where he baited the traitors into trying to murder Bergy by making them think that he, Peter, had a shield, when in actuality, Bergy was the one with the shield and was thus saved from murder. Peter had only told CT, Dan, and Parvati that he had a shield, which told him that at least one of them was a traitor. Turns out two of them were. It altered the course of the entire game, and it was an incredibly smart move, and while I was obviously a supporter of the Bravo crew overall, you have to give credit where credit is due. Peter did make a huge impact on the traitors this season. I made the most of my fairly short interview window with Peter, where we talked about that move, his tight-knit clique that he was a part of, whether he really thought that MJ might have voted to save him, what it was like being read to filth by Phaedra, his changing strategy during the season, what we can expect from the reunion, his after-party from the reunion, and much more. By the way, we'll still have our usual Friday episode of Gabbing with Gib tomorrow. This one's a really great one, breaking down the recent Bravo lawsuits with a legal expert and fellow podcast host. You won't want to miss that. Anyway, keep listening for my exit interview with Peter Weber. Stream The Traitors season 2 finale and reunion tonight on Peacock starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Peter Weber, one of the stars of the second season of The Traitors. Peter proved to be incredible at this game, leading the charge for the faithfuls against The Traitors, but ultimately being banished towards the end of the season. Peter, this season has really been such a moment. It's been so fun to watch, and I'm really excited to pick your brain about everything. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm full of gratitude and love being able to have the experience to play this game. I had the time of my life, and yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Good. Okay, so you were banished right before the Faithfuls finally got Phaedra out, whose name had been in the mix for several days during the filming, several weeks for us. When and how did you find out that Phaedra had finally gotten banished?
Yeah, that was a couple weeks after, and I wanted to know so bad. Right after you leave the castle and you go do your postmortem interviews with producers, and I was trying to like get it out of them, and they just wouldn't give me anything. I'm like, I need to know if I'm right. I need to know. And it wasn't until like a couple weeks after I finally like I was able to talk with some of the cast, and they were able to tell me some of the stuff that happened. And it felt good, obviously, you know, I had fought so hard and tried to prove a point. So I remember feeling like, I'm going to feel like shit right now. If I'm wrong and I went all in on her, like that's going to suck. So I'm like, please, 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 please let her be a traitor for that reason too. So yeah, it felt good.
And how did it feel, you know, during your roundtable banishment? You got one of the signature Phaedra reads of, this isn't The Bachelor. I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose. Yep. In that moment, what was the feeling like inside?
Oh, that in that moment. So I'll be honest. It takes a lot to like really get me riled up. Like I just am a very even keeled person. I don't, you know, really get angry. And I just remember like it got me going. And, and again, it was a rush. Like it wasn't even like all like negative. It was a rush of like excitement. And I'm like, all right, we're in this. Like you really want to go? Let's go. And yeah, it's probably a dumb choice to pick a fight with Phaedra, like the queen of the castle here. Like, I'm probably not going to win this, but man, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to give it my all. So it was just like it was a big rush, and then ultimately getting banished from that. It was emotional for me. It actually, and I remember like wondering how much is it going to like come through on the screen, because I was like almost holding back emotion, because I just had felt like I had poured every bit of me into playing this game. And yeah, I know I played hard, but I did that intentionally. And I left nothing on the table, nothing in the castle. So, you know, anytime you get kind of voted out by your peers, it's not a good feeling. It hurts. And so that part obviously sucked for a couple of reasons, but it was just a very emotionally charged, intense, adrenaline filled period round table. And it was tough.
Yeah. And again, for us as viewers, right before you were banished, we had this really big cliffhanger of it was a tie vote. We don't know who MJ voted for. Again, sitting there at that table, what in your mind were the chances that MJ would have voted to banish Phaedra? Did you have hope in that moment? Were you just sort of like, this Bravo group is not going to go against each other right now?
I did have hope, and this is why. It was because CT had actually been the reason why I had hope for MJ and anybody else. I, at that point, CT and I, we never really went at it with each other. We just were very brutally honest with each other. And I know he was a really good game player, and I knew he had a lot of experience. But when I saw that with his perspective, he was willing to be changed. I remember he'd always say, you know, I'm just trying to find the traitors. And like, that was true. He proved to me he wasn't just all talk. He really was trying to find the traitors, and he listened to conversations and listened to the round table points. And so when, you know, we're going around, he voted before MJ and I wasn't expecting it. And when I'm counting the votes in my head, all right, this person's probably going to go this way. When CT goes for Phaedra, I'm like, I have a chance. Like there's actually potential here. And maybe people actually did listen and they just aren't blindly following loyalty. Like maybe they actually could be convinced. And so then, you know, I think it was Sheree and then Kate. I'm like, oh shit. And then I was just praying, you know, I'm hoping MJ, like, because CT had given me that hope, I did have a little hope. And it sucked that it wasn't my way.
Right. And, you know, throughout the season, we see you were sort of like the ringleader of the faithfuls of sorts. You had this really tight 5-person group that you really trusted, it seemed. You guys would have closed door meetings and you seemed to be mostly on the same page with a lot of these people. Yeah. And you just said that you sort of put all of yourself into this game and you really kind of put it all out there. Was that your approach and strategy from the beginning of like, let me find some people that I really trust and just kind of go full force with them? Or did that shift once you were at the castle?
Yeah, my initial strategy going in was I wanted to, which I quickly changed from, but I wanted to fly under the radar. I really did. And until when that opportunity presented itself for the shield block play, that kind of set the course for the rest of my game that I couldn't pull back from. It wouldn't have made sense.
Right.
So I was committed. But actually, my strategy in the beginning wasn't to find the traitors. It was to find who I trust. And once I gave them my 100% trust, I was okay going to the very end of the game with them. Yes, you throw in the complication of recruitments that can derail that, but you can't get too bogged down in that. Like I still was like, okay, when that time comes and we have to maybe figure out a recruitment, I'll cross that bridge. But once I find my trust with someone, I'm going to commit to it and I'm going to go to the end with them. And actually the first person I ever gave it to was with John. John was actually the first person I'm like, he is a faithful. And then I quickly built that, you know, with Bergie, Trishelle and Kevin and the rest of, you know, that group, and also with Janelle and Ekin. But I was like, okay, it's going to be harder to find exactly who the traders are. Let me first find who I'm going to trust.
Right. And I guess when you find the people who you trust kind of by proxy, you're also kind of pinpointing who you really don't trust and really don't believe.
Exactly. Right. Process. Yeah. Of elimination with that. And yeah, it was nice having that kind of trust and that camaraderie to really work together and make some plays happen.
Yeah. So I did an exit interview with Bergie and I asked him if he thought that sort of being part of this group backfired on him eventually, because it was sort of like, ultimately, obviously you guys were going to be targeted at least by the traders, if not kind of questioned by the rest of the faithfuls at some point. And he said, no, he said that, you know, he knew that part of the deal of being part of this group was eventually the traders were going to start picking you guys off one by one. Do you think that being part of like such an obvious tight knit group ultimately backfired on you? Did you have that same mentality of like, I just want to get the traders out and I don't care if I win or not? Like, what was going through your mind, I guess, towards the end of your run and thinking, oh, maybe should I distance myself from certain people? I don't know. What did you think about that at all?
Yeah. I mean, that stuff definitely goes to your head. I think, you know, first and foremost, once you make a commitment and you decide this is the path my game's going, you have to stay committed. I think if there was anything I could have done over again to help my chances a little bit more, would have been to not flip-flop with the going from poverty to Phaedra thing. And
yeah,
and so I bring that up just because I mean that with like the theme of this, like it doesn't really help your chances if, you know, you're in this group that we've committed to working together with and we have all this trust, to now try to distance yourself. I think that gets sketchy. I felt that with the swap from poverty to Phaedra. I already brought that suspicion on myself. And also, it's true. You want to win the game. There's no doubt. I wanted to win the game so bad. But there also is an aspect of the game that I think just comes from when you really care about something and you have pride in something. It's like, okay, for the better, like if someone from our group wins, that's also a win. And it becomes almost like a us versus them type mentality where, of course, you know, none of these people are bad people. The people that were chosen to be traders or accepted invitations, like they're all great people. We're all friends after, you know, for the most part. So it's nothing like personal, but it's like you still, if you get so invested in the game, you're like, I want the faithfuls to win. Like, I don't want the traders to win. And so like, it's like, if I have to sacrifice myself or whatnot, I'm not that I'm okay with it, but I'm okay with it kind of thing. So I don't regret that. I wouldn't have split up our group ever. It was us till the end, and I would have loved to have made it to the end with them.
Right. And I guess if you do that flip, then people will probably start thinking that you were recruited if you start to sort of change your behavior. So
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And it's also interesting, Peter, because it's like leading up to when you guys got Dan out, I think a lot of people were like really rooting for your crew and the faithfuls. But then I think because Phaedra was sort of like a scene stealer and provided such great entertainment this season, especially like the kind of Bravo cohort of viewers, they sort of were rooting for you guys not to find her because we just wanted her on the show still. You know, we still wanted to watch her. Did you feel that watching the show back and kind of paying attention to some of the conversation around the show that like people just sort of wanted Phaedra to stay around, even if that meant you guys were wrong?
Oh, hell yeah. And, you know, you put yourself into a reality TV environment. You are opening yourself up to comments, positive, negative, and all that. And I think it made it a lot easier to see any negative comments because it was such blind following, like blind loyalty to, and I get it. You love whoever it is that you're following on the show and you want them to win. You're going to back them up no matter what. It doesn't matter if they are a traitor, if they're the one that are murdering other people, you're going to, so knowing that like, okay, there, this is why people are feeling this way, just because they love Phaedra. And I get it. Phaedra is an incredible woman. She's so successful. She's extremely entertaining, as the one-liners that better than anyone I think I've ever heard. I get her fan base and loyalty. So I definitely didn't take it to heart once I realized
it's not personal.
This is just loyalty.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned the shield move. And to me, that was the move of the season. It changed the entire trajectory of this entire season. I think it really kind of hurt the traitors for the rest of the game. And yeah. I would venture to say that I bet you whoever's going to be on season 3 of the traitors is going to see that move and learn from that. And do you get props for that move at the reunion? Are we going to see you kind of get that recognition? Because I really, I mean, it's no secret that that is it changed the entire season. It really did.
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of love from it. I appreciate it. You know, I take those words to heart that I received from a couple of the players, and they mean a lot. And yeah, it was cool. It instilled so much going through the game and having that be successful. It instilled so much confidence in me that like I really can play with the big dogs. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go, let's play.
Would you want to play with the big dogs in another arena on another show?
100%. Okay, I would love to. I'm not gonna lie, I'm hooked now. Like this, I never thought I'd be such a into these kind of games, but man, I think just the natural competitive aspect of me, I should have done these shows and I should have looked for love elsewhere, not necessarily on a show, but you know, I don't regret that either.
You live and you learn. You live and you learn.
Yeah.
Speaking of the reunion, I mean, how was it? Like, what can we expect from it? Because I know that Andy said on his radio show that you guys kind of watched the end of the finale all together. What was that whole experience like?
Very, very shocking. None of us had seen. So they had shown us most of the last episode up until where it really gets, you know, juicy. And then we watched that live, and the people that were involved in that part, that footage, weren't on stage yet. So it was just the rest of us watching. So it was the first time. Shocking. I had kind of heard some rumblings of how stuff went down, and it's wild. I don't think no one's predicted, I guess, how it happens. I haven't seen at least anything online. So that's pretty wild, but the reunion was fun. It was a really good time. I think there's a lot of twists that I don't think see people coming. There's definitely a twist that I'm involved in that for sure nobody sees coming. But I'm happy it happened.
Okay. Is there a showdown between Dan and Phaedra? Because that's, I think, what a lot of people are looking forward to.
What do you think?
Roundtable part two. Okay. Okay, good. And then you also hosted an after party for the reunion, correct? Or you and your mom did. How was that? Did everyone come to that? Because there was a big group picture and some people weren't in that photo. Did everyone show up to your house?
For the most part, everyone did. There was a couple people. I filmed something with Parvati the next day, and she was like just having so much FOMO because Phaedra and I were telling her all about it. And she had something with her daughter. It was just a logistic thing. Mm-hmm. CT wasn't able to make it. Janelle was actually pretty sick. I can't believe she even pushed through for the reunion, but she was really sick, had to get back. But yeah, everyone else for the most part was there. And it was a really, really fun time. It was awesome.
Good. Well, Peter, I think that's all the time we have. I could have talked to you for 3 hours about this show, but again, congrats on a really great showing on Traitor Season 2. And I hope to see you some other shows going forward, because you clearly have that competitive spirit in you, which is fun to watch.
Hell yeah. Let's go. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.